Assalamu alaikum, guys. Welcome to our first episode on our brand new podcast called Food for Thought. We have none other than Khalid Adin. Khalid, how you doing?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, bro. We're finally here. We have been trying to do this podcast for like the last 6 or 7 months. And we're finally here, alhamdulillah. We rented out a place in the masjid.
Hey, this is Omar here. I think what Muaz meant to say was that the masjid graciously let us use the room. And we thank them for that. Jazakallah khair.
So I don't know if this is going to be temporary or permanent, but we're here. So I want to talk to you about the last, about maybe 6 or 7 months or so. We went to a friend's house, and I remember you were really happy for some reason and just really energetic. And I was like, what's going on? And it was just like, you had like a whole different vibe too. And I was like, you know, like what's changed? And you were like, bro, I read this book. And like, I'm like waking up at like 6 in the morning now every day. And I like completely deleted all my social media, like completely deleted my accounts and everything. And we talked for a bit and I was like, let's talk about it on the podcast. Like what happened? So there were two specific things. One, it was the whole idea of getting up early and like starting your day early. And then the second thing was you quitting social media. So when it came to like starting a morning routine or waking up early, kind of run me through that a bit. Like what inspired you to start that? What inspired you to start your days early, and what benefits did you see from that?
All right. So what's up, everybody? First of all, I'm glad to be here. I want to say it was this book that I read. It was called My Morning Miracle, right? And it talked about how transforming your morning into like a productive morning can like produce better results throughout your day. Mm-hmm. And so I realized, if I wake up in the morning and have a set routine, basic things like waking up, drinking a tall glass of water, getting a little bit of exercise in, get your blood moving, having a bite to eat, maybe exercising. I already said exercising, but what was it? I even did yoga. I've done yoga. I've done meditation. Like I tried it all.
And I remember we made fun of you.
Exactly. Everybody was making fun of you. You did yoga. And I was like, it's actually pretty dope. You should try it out. It's not just for old people or whatnot. It's pretty fun and it's exhilarating, basically. Mm-hmm. And so waking up in the morning, like it did a lot. Like once you, it's definitely hard at first, but like once you get into it, you definitely like notice the results. You definitely see yourself with more energy in the morning. Like the first couple of times I tried it, it was hard. Like I was struggling. Like 10 minutes in, I'm thinking about going back to bed. But after like a week or two, like I was up before my alarm clock. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely something you get used to.
And you notice that like it's really hard at the beginning, but then you're always glad that you did it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it just, your days seem so much longer and more productive. Like now I'm kind of forced to wake up early because we have practice at 7. So I'm up at 5:30. But like by the time practice is over, like I get home at 9, I've already like done my morning routine, done my Quran, like gotten my exercise in, and it's 9 o'clock. Like most people are still asleep, mm-hmm, you know? Right. And so it adds this like productivity to your day. And, you know, subhanAllah, like even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this. He said that Allah has placed barakah for my nation within the early morning times, right? And like you notice that like you're more productive in the morning. There's less distractions, you know? It's not all hustle and bustle. Most of your family's still asleep. And actually some of the Sahaba took that like literally, and they would trade during the mornings. Like they would go out and they would to the marketplace and they would start their day early, and they actually became more wealthy because of that. So it doesn't have to be specifically like a religious thing. You can apply that to like go after your goals in this life as well.
Yep. And so yeah, it's definitely helped. Like when I first started, like I realized I have a big family. I have 6 sisters and a brother, baby sister. So my house is always, it's always a mess. It's always loud. You can never actually sit down and focus on one thing without somebody distracting you. Mm-hmm. So I realized in the morning, waking up 3 or 4 hours before them, I have that time to just focus on myself, to get my reading done, get my self-development done, and to like plan out my day and like to actually get things done other than just waking up at a late time, feeling all groggy all morning, and then finally getting out of bed and then your day's already gone. And so once I realized that I have these extra 3 or 4 hours to work on myself, like it was a big change. And like, it wasn't even like, it didn't even take much. Like a week later and I could already see the change, and it was pretty good.
So run me through that morning routine that you would do? What would it look like? Yeah.
So it was the book called Morning Milk, right? And so he gave you, like, it was Life Savers, right? Mm-hmm. Savers. First it was
scribing. No, it was silence.
Yes, silence. Yeah. Was it Savers? Yes, vision. Savers. So Savers, the S stands for silence. I would wake up in the morning after I drink a cup of water just to wake up and whatnot, sit in silence for 5 minutes, just contemplating my thoughts, thinking about life, but in silence, like you literally just empty your thought. Actually, it wasn't, yeah, that's the wrong one. You empty your thoughts. You just sit there in silence and just let everything, like, but thoughts do come in, but just let them out. And then after Savers, it was A, affirmations. I realized that once you tell yourself that you're capable, once you tell yourself that you're better and that you're able to do things, it's a lot better than to like push yourself down. Once you see that you're like, just telling yourself is a big change and a big step to like actually getting things done.
And people don't like realize how powerful affirmations can be. Like just telling yourself in the morning, like today's going to be a good day. I'm like reminding yourself like of that potential. People don't realize like some of the greatest people in history would do that. Like, they would start their mornings by telling themselves, I'm going to be successful today. I'm going to be, you know, the best person out there. And it helps a lot.
I'm telling you, like, when I first, like, was reading through the book, I was like, it's not going to do anything for me. Like, it's not much if you think about it. But, like, after a week of telling myself, I'm capable, I'm going to stop, I'm not a procrastinator. Right. Telling myself all of these things eventually led me to believe that I know I'm not a procrastinator. I know I can get things done. And it's a big step. And then I believe it was Savers, S-A-V. The V was visualizing. I can't say that word.
Visualizations.
But yeah, I'm not even kidding you. I printed out pictures of like a pretty beach and like a beach house. And I literally glued them on. Like, so like when I wake up in the morning, it's the first thing that I see on the wall. Mm-hmm. And the mindset behind it was this, that if you're waking up every morning and you're seeing those things, it's like a motivation. Like, I want that. I want to, when I'm in my early 20s, mid 20s, I want to be able to be living that luxury life. Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, it was definitely a confidence boost. It definitely helped with that. And so, yeah, that's, at first I was like, it's not going to be much. Mm-hmm. But after a couple of days of seeing a pretty beach, I'm like, yo, that's not a bad destination.
And it was also like visualizing, like not just like in your future, but just in your day as well.
Exactly.
Like visualizing how your perfect day would be, like the things that you would do, the things that you'd accomplish. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And just like that would help a lot with your day as well.
Exactly. And I believe the next letter, Savers.
E was exercise.
Exercise. I would always save this for last. I would get all my stuff done in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then I would do 10, 15 minutes of yoga. It's a good stretch. It's good for your body. You guys should try yoga. It's pretty fun. Like at first, it's definitely hard. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. But you don't even got to be flexible. I feel like people believe, I'm not flexible enough for yoga. It's really not that bad.
People underestimate it. Like, don't make fun of it.
Exactly. Until you try it and hate it, then don't say nothing. And then I would go on like a mile run. Mm-hmm. Time myself. Every day I wanted to like cut some time off. I'm not in the same shape I was in high school. And I realized that. But slowly, I've been cutting time off my mile every single day. And it's a confidence boost once you realize, and I love how motivated I am. Like, usually when I do try to run, I do it 1 or 2, 3 days and then I'd be done. But now, since I'm following this strict morning schedule, it's helped me to like keep going and keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And then Savers.
Reading.
Yeah, I've literally, ever since I deleted social media, like, I've been reading everything. Like, self-development books, fiction, nonfiction, whatever. I've been reading a lot. And so, yeah, I just do 20, 30 pages every morning just to like, and this is just like, this morning miracle schedule is supposed to be just an hour.
Yeah.
Hour maximum. Like, it's supposed to be for people that have busy days about to come. Mm-hmm. It's just like a way to like have like something set in the morning so that you could follow. Mm-hmm. And then the last one.
I feel like the reading one, honestly, I feel like that one's the most important. Because it's something like so easy that you can do. And in the morning, you're not distracted.
Exactly.
You know, and like having like reading consistently, whether it's like the Quran, whether it's a self-improvement book that you want. After a month of doing that, like you would have finished like half that book already just by taking. And you don't have to do 20, 30 pages. Mashallah, like, you know, but not everybody can. But if you're doing 5 pages a day in the morning, like that'll accumulate over time. But yeah.
Facts. And then Savers, the last S was
scribing.
Scribing, yeah. I wrote down my plans, my goals, what I'm thankful for. Just like a 5-10 minutes of writing down everything.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is, what your plans for the day are. I mostly did it to like reflect on my past day or like, because I'm waking up. I remember the things that I did the last day. So I would reflect on my day. I would reflect on the things that I'm doing. I would write down what I'm thankful for. I'd write down my goals, things that I need to work on. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of just a way to see where my progress is and like ways to improve.
And what impact, like honestly, what impact do you think having that morning routine just had on your day and your life in general? Like if it didn't have an impact, like be honest, like how much of a change did you see in your life when you had that?
A big change. I'm not even kidding you. Like when I was reading the book and the guy was like so excited for everybody to try it, he's like, yeah, it's going to be life changing, life altering. I was like, come on, I'm waking up an hour early. It can't be that much, but like you definitely see the change in yourself. And like, I'm not even kidding, but I'm not a morning person. Other than getting woken up for fetches, like I'm not a morning person. And so once I realized I'm waking up 5 a.m. for something that is coming from me, like once you're able to do that, like it's just, you realize how much you're capable of. And so waking up at 5 a.m., you literally get an extra 3 or 4 hours a day. With 3 or 4 hours, the first hour being just this morning routine that's a set and scheduled thing, you have a few other hours to get schoolwork done, to read some Quran, to like do whatever you need to do. And it's still peaceful. There's nobody to distract you. And so I literally realized I was finding ways to like increase my, what's it called? Can't think.
Your knowledge?
Not knowledge. Knowledge as well. But like ways to make money, like just side hustles, side jobs, things that I could do to make money. And so it helped with a lot. Like I was more focused throughout the day. I felt a lot more accomplished. Like once I wake up, there was a few days where I did like skip it out of laziness, out of like sleeping late the night before. But like those nights, I could see the difference. Like I would be unmotivated. It'd be noon and I'd get 2 or 3 things done. And like I wouldn't feel that sense of accomplishment. And so it's a big confidence boost once you actually start getting things done. Like you realize, oh, this is kind of nice.
And I love how you mentioned like not only the confidence boost, but the fact that like you realize your potential. Because like when you sleep in, right, and you only have so many hours in the day, and there are things that you have to do, like go to work, go to school, you know, whatever, all this stuff, you wake up early, you realize how many more things you can do. Most people that have these passions of, you know, writing a book or, you know, working out, exercising, usually that time is allocated in the morning because it's away from your busy schedule. It gives you that time for that real like self-improvement that you want to do. So I feel like if you're trying to improve any aspect of your life, a morning routine is so important.
It's key. In the book, like, he would always be referring to famous people, successful people, athletes. And almost 100% of the time, they all have a set morning routine, something that they follow every morning to get them going.
No, I mean, if you're trying to improve any aspect of your life, and it's hard at first. Like, this is the thing. Like, when that alarm clock goes off at 5 in the morning, like, personally, I regret every... I'm like, why the heck am I doing this to myself? You know? So how do you... I guess, what would you say to people that have that, like, how do you get past that, those initial like 10-15 minutes, and just force yourself to get up, start your day?
Well, first of all, you gotta sleep early. There's no way you're gonna sleep at 2-3 o'clock and try to wake up at 5 or 6. It's not gonna happen. What, no matter how hard you try, you're gonna feel like crap and you're gonna want to go back to sleep. So the first step is you gotta get a solid 7-9 hours of sleep. That's the first step. Like, that's the first thing you gotta do. And also minimize your screen time before you sleep. That's also a big factor. But yeah, you sleep at a good time. Once you get 7-8 hours of sleep and you're waking up at 5, it's really just about mindset. Like, you got this adequate sleep that you needed. It's all just pushing yourself in that moment. And I realized one thing. That snooze button is dangerous. It's dangerous. Like, I realized once I forgot what he said in the book, but like, I don't know what it was, but like something about the snooze and like how you're basically waking up twice. Like, you hit snooze, you already woke up once, you hit snooze, wait 5-6 minutes, whatever it is, and you're waking up again.
He mentioned how like every time you hit that snooze button, you're subconsciously telling yourself that I don't want to live. Exactly. Like, I don't want to face life. Exactly. I don't want. So it gives your brain that idea of like, I don't want to face life. Exactly. And that's dangerous. Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, if you hate waking up so much, why do it more than once? Like, that's wake true. Up once, wake up. That's and true. So and so yeah, once you get over that, and it's literally it's a couple of day struggle. You get over it the first few days and then it becomes a habit. I'm not kidding you. There's a few days where I did 4:30. Like I sleep at a good time and I'd wake up at 4:30. And like I'm not kidding you, without an alarm. Like literally there was a few times where I would set my alarm for 4:30 and I'd be up 4:26, 4:27.
That's crazy.
And I'm just like, yo, my body's getting used to this. Like it's literally just the body's it's natural. Like once you make a habit, it sticks to it.
No, I like how you mentioned that. And I mean, it's just you, like you said, like it's hard at first, but once you kind of like force yourself, and the whole idea of like it's a mindset, like you got to remind yourself, why am I doing it in the first place? If you don't have that purpose, you're going to fail every single time you're faced with that hard decision, you know? Like just remind yourself why you're doing it. I want to improve, you know? This is like, while everybody else is sleeping, I'm going to be working, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm going to be improving myself.
Exactly.
So I like how you mentioned that. And then I really want to talk about social media because this is my passion. I love talking about this topic. So you burned your bridges. You completely deleted, like not even uninstalled the app, like you deleted your accounts, all of them. Instagram, Snapchat. What else did you have?
That's all I have.
Instagram and Snap. Those are the two main ones. Yeah. Those are the two main ones. And like, I remember asking you like, why? Like that's a huge, most people delete the app and then maybe probably go back to it a bit, but you completely, so run me through that. Why did you take that decision?
Well, first of all, that's what I did do at first. Like I was like, all right, social media is wasting my time. Mm-hmm. Just delete the apps for a bit. A week later, I'm like, yo, quick scroll wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
And that's how it always is. Like at first you tell yourself I'm deleting it, but there's that temptation is there because it's still there, you know? And so I told myself, like, it's just social media. It's really not going to be that bad. And so, I mean, I definitely thought about it. It took me a while. I was like, man, I've been building these 900, 800 followers for this long and I'm just going to get rid of it. But like, yeah, that first time that I did it, I was like, in my mindset, I'm thinking, all you do on social media is scroll.
Yeah.
Like I will literally go through the same feed 8 or 9 times, the same pictures and everything. Not like any of them. Like I'll just scroll through them. And I'll literally be laying in bed wasting time. It would be taking hours of my time. I'm pretty sure everybody has screen time on there. Mm-hmm. I would check my screen time and it would be depressing. Like 5-6 hours on Instagram or Snapchat a day. And I'm like, yo, like what could I be doing with this time? Like,
and it's like not even that. It's like you got to ask yourself like how much of that information, not only is it not beneficial, but it's actually like some of it can be harmful. Like seeing everything that's going on in the world is not something that as humans, we're built to kind of comprehend. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like we're built to like, you should kind of care about, you know, you and your close, your tribe, right? Your group of friends, your community, but you shouldn't have to care about what thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people think about you constantly.
Exactly.
Right? And not only that, it's like how many, there are billions of people in the world. That's billions of interactions a day. Some of those are going to be bad, 100%. You know, and some of those bad ones, they're going to blow up. But do you need to know about every single thing? It's depressing. Like it's depressing. And you got to ask yourself how much of that is affecting me mentally. Like, do I need to be taking in all this information? You know, we have this idea now that like, oh, we have to be caught up with everything that's going on. You know what I mean? Or else I'm going to fall off the loop. Realistically, like that's not true. How many of these people like on social media do you actually interact with, like these things that are going on in other countries? Is that benefiting you, you know? And like when it comes to dangers, right? It's also, one thing is that it's really hard to lower your gaze on social media. Like that by itself, honestly, is enough of a reason like to delete it, or at least think about restricting it somehow. Like it is, you're scrolling, something's gonna pop up, something. It doesn't matter how many Islamic channels you follow or whatever. Dude, something is going to pop up. And so the problem with that, it's that, you know, the shaitan's gonna work around that. He's gonna find a way to get you to, you know, go from social media to something else, to one step. And before you even know it, you know, you've just fallen in like major trouble. So, you know, how did your life change after deleting it? What did you see? What improvements did you see in your life?
Well, I definitely saved the 5 hours I would be laying on my bed scrolling through. And that time, like when I definitely started making that routine, that schedule in the morning, I realized I had these pockets of time that I would normally be sitting on my bed, sitting on the couch, scrolling through Instagram or Snapchat or whatever it is. And so the first thing that I gained was time. Like, I definitely saved a lot of time. Mm-hmm. With that time, it gave me ways to improve myself, better myself, knowledge-wise, money-wise, whatever it is. It gave me that time and energy to focus on myself. And so, like, I feel like social media is definitely like a, it deteriorates your thinking. Like, you want to think like everybody else. Everything is like, that's literally how these people that are creating these apps and stuff, that they're literally making these game or not games, they're making these apps as addictive as possible. Mm-hmm. And so when you're in that loop of addiction on social media and you cut it out, you have to replace it with something. And that's the thing that I did. I replaced it with reading. I replaced it with self-improvement videos on YouTube. I replaced it with Quran. Like, I replaced it with many other things.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is with that, it's like they almost, the way that they build those apps, like they, it's almost like there's a hidden agenda to it. They want you to like think a certain way, or like, I guess the problem with it, like the one danger that I see is that like you said, these apps are so addicting and they're built in a way to like always keep you on there. 100%. And the thing is, when you're always on there, like, what do you see on your feed? Like, other people's lives, which are fake. Like, people aren't happy 100% of the time, but that's all people post. Like, these perfect filtered, you know, lives that they have. You know, all this news that's going on in the world, most of it is negative, right? And then maybe some beneficial content here and there, right? But the thing is, it's like, when you, let's talk about like other people, right? When you're seeing other people that necessarily, maybe you see them at school, maybe you see them whatever in the workplace, but you don't have a real life like connection with them. You don't. But when you're always seeing their lives, these happy versions of themselves, that's gonna affect you mentally. That's gonna, like, subconsciously, when all you're seeing is other people's amazing lives, and your life, you know, you have all these problems at home with yourself, you have all these mental issues, you're gonna think like, well, hell, well, why is everyone else's life amazing and mine sucks? But realistically, everybody else is going through that. You know, that's one of the dangers of it. I remember, if you've seen this, you've seen The Social Dilemma on Netflix. If you guys haven't seen The Social Dilemma on Netflix,
I haven't.
You haven't seen it?
No. Are you serious? You never told me about it.
Dude, I thought I did.
No, you didn't.
You have to watch The Social Dilemma. Like, that is one of the most eye-opening documentaries I've ever seen in my life.
About social media?
About social media. They bring like engineers and like the founders of like these apps, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and like obviously they don't work for them anymore, but they tell you like how they built the apps and what they're trying to, basically inside info on, like, so eye-opening. It's amazing. But in this documentary, they mention how like suicide rates in teenage girls aged like 13 to 16 went up like 78% in the last like decade.
That's crazy.
And for preteen girls aged 10 to 12, it went up like 120%, something like that. And that like spike up correlated with when social media was kind of introduced on, you know, onto that generation. And you see, like, this is the thing that like scares me. Like, you have younger siblings, right? I have a younger sibling. I've seen this with so many in this generation where they've been brought up with social media. There's so much like social skills lacking. It's scary. Wallahi, it's scary that like they would rather, like, they would not want to do anything else other than to just sit home on their phones, on their laptops, whatever. And like, I remember trying to force them to like have to interact with people face to face. Like, these are life skills that you're going to have, but because of, you know, social media, because of you being able to like just message people on here and not have to face reality, like, they've become antisocial. And it's scary because in life, like, you're going to have dilemmas. You're going to have, like, you have to interact with people, obviously. So that's one thing that like just really scares me. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Oh, 100%. I have a little sister. See, have
you didn't have to call her out.
I had to, bro. I'm not kidding you. See, I love you. Know my feelings. But her and her friends will like, they'll all be hanging out in the room, whatnot.
Yeah.
They will all be sitting on corners of the room on TikTok or whatever it is. Like, no communication, like maybe once or twice when they see a funny video, maybe send it to each other or show each other. But like, there's no communication. No, I'm just sitting there just on their phones, and it's like, what's going on?
Like, you know how dangerous that is? Like, in the future, like, if, and the thing is, the problem with it is that when you have this like virtual reality, right? And it kind of plays into video games as well, but we'll focus on social media. When it's like this kind of like, we'll say this reality that's better than real life, I guess. You know, when you're always in that and it's nicer than like your real life, mm-hmm. you'll want to stay in that. And the problem with that is that like, once you're off that, you'll have to face like this real life now with, and we know how life, like there's struggles, difficulties, hardships, like that's what life is. So the more you become adapted, and now they have these like VR headsets and stuff that you can literally go into another world, you know, in the future, like that's scary because if people get used to that, they're not going to want to face reality anymore. Cause reality is hard. You know, real life has its difficulties. Video games, social media doesn't, you know, you're just chilling there.
And like, I noticed that in my life, like I would be avoiding my schoolwork, avoiding some yeah. type of argument. And I'd literally be endlessly scrolling through Instagram, knowing like I still have to deal with it. But in this moment, in like right now, I don't have to deal with it. And I'm masking it with social media.
Yeah, it kills productivity.
100%.
But would you say there's benefits to social media? I guess we've been bashing it. Are there benefits to it?
There's 100%. It's two-sided. Like mm-hmm. there's no way that there's no benefits. Like there's people spreading knowledge, there's people advocating for everything. And so 100% it has its benefits. But you got to be smart with how you mm-hmm. use it. Like if you're going to like just want to reap the benefits, you still definitely have to like watch out for the negatives. You know what I mean?
I honestly think the reason why it's so dangerous is because there are benefits to it. Because if social media was purely like negative and it was bad for you, people would have realized this a long time ago and would have been like, why are we putting our kids on this? Like all it does is just, you know, have all these bad. But the reason why it's so dangerous is because it has all these benefits. Like it's, you know, I've made friends over social media that I wouldn't have known mm-hmm. unless, whether it was for, you know, it helps you stay connected with things that are going on in your community, events, you know, it's reconnected, lost siblings. It's found organ donors. It's done all this positive stuff, but the negative effect that it has on like the one person far outweighs the benefits, 100%. In my opinion. And one thing as well, I truly believe that if you want like to improve your life in any way, if you want self-improvement, social media will completely destroy that. You cannot improve yourself as a person and also like freely have social media for two reasons. I'll tell you these two reasons. One of them is that with self-improvement, it's a very personalized experience, right? You're trying to be better than you were yesterday, right? You're always looking at like your goals and trying to improve yourself. But when you're on social media and you're scrolling through everybody else's lives, right? You're trying to like lose weight. And then all you see is these like skinny models, right? These perfectly built bodies. And you're thinking, well, I don't look like that. You know, you're trying to increase your knowledge. You're trying to make money. You're trying to do all this stuff. You see people with all the money that you could ask for. It demotivates you. It 100% demotivates you. And then the second reason, like social or self-improvement is not easy. Obviously, it's hard. You have to do things that you don't want to do. Like if everybody became the best versions of themselves from like sitting on their butts and like eating donuts and watching TV, well, everyone would be freaking like amazing, right? But it's not. It's a difficult process. You know, you have to do things. You have to sacrifice things, do things that you don't want to do. The problem with social media is that you have a dopamine injection in your hand at all times. When life gets hard, you just take it and you start scrolling. You know, it takes you away from those challenges that you have to face. Mm-hmm. Why go on a run when I can just sit on my phone, you know, and scroll through Instagram for 20 minutes? It completely destroys that. Once your baseline like dopamine level is up here, you know, usually let's say it's right here. But when you have this dopamine injection in your pocket and you're always using it, now it's like up here. And so now it becomes really hard to do these really hard, like things that you don't want to do. You know, I've always thought about like, why is it that our like grandparents could like sit down and read a book for hours and just like enjoy it, and I can't sit down for like 10 minutes and read? Because that was fun for them. That was entertainment. They didn't have TV. Exactly. They didn't have, you know, their phones. Mm-hmm. And so it's like lowering that like level of dopamine so that you're used to doing those hard things. Those hard things become enjoyable.
Yeah, 100%. I see what you mean.
I rambled for a while there. That was a lot. I've been waiting to say that for a while. But it's just like with because I know you've been trying to like do all this like self-improvement stuff. And like I've noticed that you just can't with social media. You really can't.
That's exactly why it was either or. And right. I just made that decision. I was like, in the long run, that 10, 15 minutes of scrolling will not show up in the next 5 to 10 years of my life.
Yeah.
But reading this book, learning this new tip to like improve this or that will definitely be benefiting me 5, 10 years down the line.
100%. What... So let's say someone does want to change, you know, they realize they are spending a lot of time on social media, but they don't want to completely permanently delete their accounts. They want to burn that bridge out. What tricks are there? What would you recommend for them?
Like they just want to like have like
limit it somehow, restrict it
somehow. Most of you have iPhones.
Yeah.
You see your screen time. I'm pretty sure you've used it like setting like timers and set things for social media. And sticking to it, that's going to be the hardest thing. Like, you have to stick to it. If you really want to improve, you have to make sacrifice. There's no way that you're going to get better and improve in anything without sacrifice.
Honestly, you could take like a 2-week break and see how it goes. Have someone be accountable for it. Be like, yo, if I go back on Instagram before the 2 weeks, like I'll give you $100.
Exactly. That's one other thing that always works. Having like a person or somebody like a, what do they call it?
Accountability
partner. Yeah, accountability partner. Once you have somebody, like if you're by yourself, you can always be like, all right, it's okay. Yeah. But like, for example, having somebody to run with you in the morning.
Yeah.
You think to yourself, oh, it's not just me. I have somebody else relying on me to push them and for them to push me.
Yep.
And that pushes you. So having somebody to keep track with you and make it like a goal, make it a challenge between y'all. Like, yo, let's do social media. Let's take a social media break for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then you guys challenge each other, push each other. And then with that friendship and with that like accountability partner, it makes it a lot easier.
And one thing you can do, you were mentioning it, if you have iPhones, you can set a time limit on specific apps and then you give that password to like a friend or a family member or something so you can't change it. So that way I've done this and it works beautifully. Like I set a 5-minute limit on Instagram and Snap.
5 minutes.
You don't need more than that. You really don't. Because this way, if you have messages to respond to, you respond to them. You can scroll a bit. Even if you want to post something, you prepare it. You post it right away.
5 minutes.
And then once the 5 minutes runs out, it's out. You know. And usually, once the time runs out, you're like, oh, cool. I'll have it tomorrow. You know. And then you have the rest of your day to do things that you actually want to do. That works really well. But give the password to like your family member or your friend or whatever, so you can't just change it.
Yeah, 100%. Always never rely on yourself. And I don't mean that in a negative way.
No, it's like, addicting, bro.
Yeah, they build
those apps like in a way that you cannot control yourself. It's hard. Well, I know you've gone, like I will go 20, 30 minutes on Instagram or TikTok and like not even realize that.
Bro, and the worst,
I can't get myself to shut off the app. It's crazy.
The worst part is I would literally scroll through the same exact feed. I'm not kidding you. Like I saw that picture. I saw that one. I saw that highlight. I saw this. I'm gonna still scroll through it. I don't know why. Like I'm literally laying there. I know I scrolled through it 5 times already and I still do it. So like, I don't know what to tell you. Like just get rid of it. That's the only way.
Yeah.
Not the only way, but the best way.
It's really important to just be conscious. Watch the social dilemma. Watch the social dilemma. Because it'll make you so conscious about what effect like those apps really have on you. And you know, once you realize that, you'll be kind of more aware and you'll realize at least like this is having a bad effect on me. And you'll set limits. If you want to improve yourself in any way possible, you have to like restrict social media somehow. I know I'm repeating myself, but that's a really important point.
Repetition. It works.
Yeah. All right. You have anything else you wanna end on?
Let's see.
We talked about morning routines, we talked about social media.
Other than like it takes time. You're not gonna wake up one morning and boom, have it all together. Like when I first started my morning schedule, first day took me 20 minutes to get out of bed.
Yeah.
The next day it took me a little less long, but like I was still, it's a process. It's not something that's going to just happen overnight. You have to push yourself. You have to make sacrifice. It's definitely not going to be easy.
And that's with like any self-improvement too, anything, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not with social media and stuff. It's almost like an instant reward with things in life. Like if you want to get something in life, it's hard. You see progress slowly. You might not even see progress, but it, you know, it takes time. But yeah, thank you so much, Khaled, for being our first guest. Hey. Hope you guys enjoyed that, inshallah. And we'll be back soon with a second episode. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.